Can you hear me, Brother Garth?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. It does take less effort with the microphone. Oh, that was a good devotional. If you would, if I turn my papers upside down, I thought it was the best printer, but it turned out I just pulled them upside down. Turn with me to Genesis 13. Genesis chapter 13. I scared for a minute, Brother Don, got hold of my notes. The title we have today is A Carnal Christian. We're going to look at that a little bit. Genesis 13, we're going to look at verses 8 through 13. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose in all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's pray, and we'll get into this. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. I ask, Father, that you have me speak it as you want it said, as you want it done, Father, that you'd seal my lips against anything that would displease you. Father, we thank you for those who are able to be here. We pray. We've got many that are traveling, Father, and many that are sick. And we ask, Father, for all those that you provide traveling mercies to those on the road and touch the bodies of those who are ill and raise them up, Father. And Father, we thank you once again for life and health and strength, and most of all for your Son Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. And we ask forgiveness for our sins, Father, for we're a needy people. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. You know, Lot is a lot like the typical Christian in the world today. And I want you to note verse 13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, take that verse and look at the state of our world and look at the state of our nation. You know, I hear, it doesn't matter which political party is in power, someone's always growling and complaining. Well, I don't have a problem with that. I think they're all wicked. I think that we have wickedness in high places. And I don't care which political party is in power. I think wickedness rules in high places in this country. I see the world around me. I believe it's Brother Tom Ross calls it the television. You can't turn on the TV and watch anything without it being full of nudity or cussing or swearing or something. You know, there has to be the token gay couple on every show anymore. Because, heaven forbid, we show God's plan of marriage and the sanctified life that God would have us lead. You know, we can't do that. The thing is, we've grown numb to the amount of sin in our world. You know, and I'll touch on this a little bit more later, but you know, it says that Lot was a righteous man, but look where Lot lived. I want to touch on this for a minute, and I'm going to get in trouble today. Will you ever get in trouble, brother?
I won't help you get out.
Brother Don's right there holding her up to let me leave myself in, but he ain't going to help me out of it, so I guess I'm on my own. I see people over and over and over again, and I know this is going to sound like I'm picking on Brother Drake, and I'm not, but I see people over and over again, well, I've got a college degree, great, and I moved 300 miles from home, great, and I've got a job that pulls down $50,000 a year, great, where do you go to church?
Amen.
Where do you go to church? I could be making more money than I make now, but where would I go to church? I could live an entirely different life. My life could have been, well, in God's eyes, there's no ifs, there's no what ifs. But in terms of the choices that I made growing up and coming along to here, I could be leading a radically different life. But where would I be? You know, Brother Clarence said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. He was talking about that in his devotion, encouraging people to come to church and be at church for the services. The thing is, you can have all the money, all the power, all the influence in the world. You can even be saved and be just like Lot, stuck in the middle of abomination and sin. And what good does it do your soul? What good does it do your life? Am I saying don't go to college? That's not what I'm saying. Am I saying don't seek a good job? That's not what I'm saying. By all means, get all the education you can get. That's one thing I do regret. I wish, especially biblically, I wish I was better educated. But I say ain't, aren't, and y'all. But we've grown so numb to the amount of sin that's in our world. People walk down the street today and close, and I'm not talking about just women. People always point at women right off the bat. I'm not talking about just the women. I'm talking about men to walk down the street and close today that they wouldn't have worn in their house 40 years ago.
Amen.
I want to say this, and I don't want to get in trouble, but it comes to, I'm determined to get in trouble today. I ain't been for a while. Don ain't had no closed door meetings, and he misses them. Parents, your daughter's got no business on a cheerleading squad. The clothes they wear. Your son's got no business on a wrestling team. The clothes they wear. If they were wearing decent clothing, yeah, go cheer. Yeah, go wrestle. It's the outfits they wear. And that's just two examples that I can come up with. And I've got not enough time. But we've grown numb to it. We've grown accustomed to it. I see ladies wear things to church now that they wouldn't have worn outside years ago. Mm-hmm. I see fellas take it for granted. They just slap on any old thing.
Right.
Wear your good clothes to church. And I'm going to say this too. Ease of believism is partly to blame for that. Mm-hmm. I could go out here today and I could catch any number of people going up and down the street, or I could stand at the doorway to Kroger's and ask people, are you Christian? And most of them will probably tell me yes. Most of them will probably tell me yes. And they're just as lost as a ball in tall grass. The statement that you only have to believe in Jesus, I'm convinced, has baptized more people into hell than any other false doctrine that has been presented. You just have to believe to be saved. You have to believe and you have to what? Repent. If you don't repent, there is no salvation. If you just want to believe, the devil believes and he's the devil still. And these people have been told, if you just believe in Jesus, you'll go to heaven. It allows a lost sinner comfort because they can continue in their sinful lifestyle. They don't have to worry. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I had a fellow one time told me he was a Catholic, and I'm going to bash Catholics for a minute. Told me he didn't want to hear anything bad about a religion that will let you get drunk on Saturday and do penance on Sunday and you were fine. What kind of attitude towards Almighty God is that? People say they believe in Jesus. They won't darken the door of a church. But they hold on to, I believe in Jesus, therefore I'm saved. There's more to it than that. There's no real battle in their lives. See, that's something, and I can't quote it, I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but I believe it was Paul that said, when I would do good, if I find that evil's there with me. Long and short of it, every time I want to behave, there's a temptation right there swinging in front of me going, you want this, don't you? And I do. I'd be lying if I said otherwise. But I have to fight it. You have to fight it. There's a war going on, and that war involves you. See, you are at war with God. You never, as long as you are a Christian and in this world, the war will never stop. As long as you are alive, let me back up, let me say it like this. As long as you are alive in this world, your war will never stop. You were born at war with God. You simply switch sides. Where you were at war with Almighty God, now you're at war with yourself. You know, I talked about the TV a little bit ago, but I'm gonna get down and I'm gonna take your shovel from your sandbox and smack you with it for a minute. We hear about the evils of rock and roll. How horrible rock and roll music is. But you'll go listen to a country music song because that's somehow better when the guy's talking about going out and getting drunk and picking up women. Now, I'm not telling you to go listen to rock and roll. I'm telling you, if you're going to be right down picky about it, you ought not be listening to any of it. And if you're going to listen to some of it, don't be criticizing as someone else because they're sinning different than you are. Well, I want to listen to bluegrass. Have you ever listened to some of the stuff they sing about in bluegrass music? So-and-so ran away and stole his heart and got awfully quiet in here. I got your attention, didn't I? Everybody's sitting there looking kind of guilty. Don't worry, I won't tell. Something that struck me when I looked at Lot. And I want you to think about Lot for a minute. Well, for more than a minute. Think about him for this week. Dwell on him. I thought on this for about 2 weeks before I typed it up. The message itself, probably 2 or 3 days. But Lot, in general, I thought about him for probably 2 weeks and what he did and how he lived. Do you realize that Lot was as rich as, or almost as rich as, Abram? And he ended up living in a cave with nothing. Think about that. Gone. The first thing that struck me whenever I was thinking about that and that crossed my mind was that Lot pursued what appeared to be the better ground. But he never asked God. Now that struck me. Abram at the time said, pick one or the other. Well, if you've got a decision that big in your life, What's the first thing you should do? Consult God. He didn't do it. How many times have you pursued a course of action without asking the Lord first? See, that's the thing. We want to distance ourselves from biblical men and women, from the characters in the Bible. We tend to think of them more as stories, but these were real people that lived in a real world, that did real things, that brought about the world that we have today. How many times have I set out to do something and I don't ask the Lord whether it's His will for me to do it or not? Just like those cows on fence patrol this morning. Find a hole, go through it. You know, Lot was called righteous. 2 Peter 2:6 through 8 says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah unto ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with her unlawful deeds." Think about that. When was the last time you were vexed by the unrighteousness around you? When was the last time you were troubled by the unrighteousness around you? When was the last time your soul was troubled by the sin that you see rampant around you? But it says that Lot was troubled. But here's the thing. It's not just about the gay lifestyle. It says they sinned exceedingly. They were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Excuse me. If you thought of it yourself, they thought of it too and probably pursued it. It's sad that he lived among them from day to day and he never tried to remove himself from that sinful lifestyle. Now, I'm not telling you where he could have gone. I don't know. I am telling you he would have been better without the herds and flocks and living with Abram than he turned out to be with the herds and flocks living away from Abram. He would have been better to follow his uncle, who followed God, than to follow his own earthly wisdom, wouldn't he? And I guess back again, Brother Clarence, you were getting awful close to me earlier today. He compromised his faith for material gain, and in the end he lost everything but his children. You know, we speak in the passage in Corinthians where it says, "Every man's works will be tried by fire," and what I have here in my notes, it says, "What will you and I lose? What will we lose?" I'm not asking what we'll gain, I'm saying what will we lose? Yeah, I'm with you, brother. I think I've lost a lot. I really do. For every good thing I can talk up that I've done a lot bad. I've done more bad than I've done good. Like Lot, many Christians are going to see their works burned up. They'll have their salvation, but that's it. They'll have little or no reward for their labors here on earth. You know, one soul saved is worth more than all the money in this world. I don't think that God's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," over your job performance, or the size of your retirement account, or the size of the vehicle that you drive. Which is handy. I think if you led one soul to the Lord, you'd hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," for at least that one thing. If you have been busy at His work, you'll have a reward. But it has to be His work. You know, some people are called to preach, some are called to pastor, some are called to do nothing more than sit, sing, and pray. But we can all sit, sing, and pray, can't we? I can sit. I'm good at sitting. I'm not so good at singing, but I can pray. You know, there's a song that says, "Must we go an empty-handed, or must I go an empty-handed?" That's truly a sad way to meet our Savior. It really is. It's a sad, sad way to meet our Savior. I want you to note something else in Genesis 19. We're going to turn over to Genesis 19. And I'm not going to read the chapter because it's a whole chapter. But I am going to encourage you to read it. And in fact, you can be reading it while I'm talking. It doesn't bother me. But I want you to notice through that chapter that Lot tarried, though he'd been warned. Lot was warned. You need to leave. Well, but. And he tarried. I'm going to use me as an example. I can use me and get away with it. I was told to preach a long, 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 long time ago. And I pulled a Moses. I made every excuse that I could not to do it. I stuttered, I stammered, I don't like people. That's right, I love you, but I don't like crowds of people. I don't like speaking in public. I could go on and on and on and on with the excuses that I made. I don't live right. I still don't live right. So, Mike, that's a horrible thing to say. Do you want me to be honest, or do you want me to lie to you? I still don't live right. How often do we linger whenever God's will is clear? Because we're entranced with what's in the world and with our current situation. You know, God says, and I'm not saying that I've been called to be a missionary, I haven't, but if God said, you know, I pick up Brother Don, that time I've been told to go be a missionary where it's warm all the time. I'm tired of snow. The Holy Spirit says, I'm tired of snow, brother. But the reality of the matter is that if I was told to go pastor someplace else or told to go missionary into the missionary field, I would have to put down everything I have and I'd have to walk away from it. And that would be hard for me to do. And you know what I would do? I'd tarry. What should I do? Put it down and go. Lot's story is tragic, and there's some things, and I'm going to close up with this. I know y'all are tired, but don't get too excited and close your Bibles. There are like 6-7 points, but they're quick. They're not Don Bean points. They're Mike Rogers points. They're shorter and don't stutter. Number one, Lot's story is tragic. It really is. You do well to heed what he did in his life and avoid it. Don't tolerate sin around you. Don't tolerate sin in your life. That's hard. But don't tolerate sin around you, and most of all, if you tolerate it around you, you'll let it get into your life. You've got to have it away with entirely. Don't pursue worldly gain at the cost of spirituality. You say, Mike, what do you mean? I mean, if you have to choose between church and a job, God will bless you if you choose God. You may not have the money you would have had. You may not have the house you would have had. But you'll have a reward for it. Don't pursue the world outside of God. consult God when you have a decision to make. And oh boy, how I failed with that one. It's not hard to do, but we failed on it. And finally, don't tarry when God's will for your life is plain. You know, it is safe to say, I think, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I'm going to say that had Lot left whenever he was first warned, he wouldn't have lost everything. He would have retained some of his possessions. As it were, sitting like an knot on a log and waiting until the last minute, he lost his wife. He lost his goods. He lost everything. He ended up living in a little city and they couldn't tolerate it there for fear and he moved into a cave. He hit a hole in the ground. And his two daughters in the end, in my eyes, made him sin exceedingly. But that's a story for another day and another outlook. All these things and more are there to be gleaned off of his life. It's tragedy. Beloved, try and avoid such. And with that, I close. Brother Don.